This is the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in
Burbank. You like pancakes?
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time. 24-7 at Tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it at the App Store. Get it at Google Play. Or get it at TomEverywhere.com. That's TomEverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. It's a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. And we are joined here by family law attorney Adam Sachs. Adam, good to see you.
Great to see you, Tom.
What's going on in the world of family law?
Oh, Tom, unbelievable, man. You know that the idea of restraining orders was, you know, supposed to be this kind of unusual situation where, you know, you had a guy who was driving a woman crazy or following her or whatever. But, you know, we're giving them away now like toilet paper. I mean, seriously. I come into court and I go to any department and there's 25 or 30 matters on for the day and half of them are restraining order matters. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
It is.
You know,
what are people thinking by getting these restraining orders?
Well, it's mostly women getting them, by the way, so let's be careful about this. You know, there are restraining orders, what they call civil, which is between people that are not connected by any kind of relationship in terms of family or whatever.
Yes.
So you got a crazy coworker, a crazy neighbor, things like that. But that's a rounding error, Tom.
Yeah, I understand.
The big numbers, the majority of restraining orders are against domestic partners or the woman against her husband or her boyfriend or whatever. I was listening to you last hour. You were talking to this guy who was very hung up on this younger woman. And we have to get the vocabulary straight, okay? This is called one-itis, okay? This is when you get extremely focused on one person and she breaks your heart or whatever and there's never going to be another one like her and all this other stuff. And I think that's very human to feel that way sometimes. And this definitely relates to a lot of the things that we talked about in the past and things that you've always raised, Tom, about particularly this generation now raised by single mothers and not having a strong male presence, not having a father at all, or having your mother sort of push around and overwhelm your father. And this is something that has really turned our society upside down. Now, there is this thing, and this is where the single mother comes from, and this is what she tells her sons especially, is that you have to be kind to women, and you have to like women, and be nice to women, and then they'll like you, and so forth. And we've seen, as a matter of practicality, and this is something that you've always talked about. You always said that the evidence will come later, you know. And the evidence, Tom, is everywhere. I mean, it doesn't. If you want to be a guy, it doesn't work. Okay, you're going to get friend zoned if you're super nice to a woman.
Of course.
Now, this is something really interesting. What's the number one? By more than the Bible, okay? Book that women are reading. Is 50 Shades of Grey,
yeah,
which was made into a movie by our good friend Dana Brunetti, right?
Yep.
And there's even been a sequel and all this other stuff, okay? The sales on this book, Tom, are absolutely astounding. Hundreds of millions of books, downloads in all these different languages. And what's the story? This dominating man that literally, like, whips this girl, okay? I mean, he ties her up and spanks her, okay?
Right.
And what's interesting is that actually originally was fan fiction, which was written from Twilight. That's actually where it started. Now, Twilight is also unbelievably popular. And here you have werewolves and vampires. And women are turned on by pirates, right? I mean, this is unbelievable. And, you know, if you even go back to Rome, you know, Rome was destroyed by the barbarians, you know? And these were these guys that came from, like, outside the city, and city walls or whatever. This has always turned women on. Don't you understand?
Yes.
The one thing that they always say nice guys finish last, but the one thing that turns a woman off is a nice guy. Okay?
That's right.
Now, you've said, and you've been harsh. You get right to it. Treat them like crap, and that's one approach, certainly.
And they respect you.
There is something to that.
They love you.
There's a basic axiom with respect to sex, and this is in a marriage or any other relationship, but especially in a marriage, is that the person who wants it less is the one that's in control. And that's really true. And as long as the woman has, you know, maybe she's into it, who knows, she's not just like a cold fish, but as long as she wants it less than you do, then she's calling the shots, and you're essentially pleading with her. And that's very often what a woman tries to create in a relationship and wants that control, but when she has it, she then turns around and hates you. Because that is not what she wants. She wants to be taken, right? But on the other hand, we have this whole societal structure now of, again, restraining orders and rape and date rape and all this other stuff, which is that if you take a woman, which is fundamentally what she wants you to do, and she doesn't feel good about it the next day, or she feels icky or dirty, or you don't call her, you're in trouble. And it's not a joke. We're not talking about trouble. We're talking about, you know, rape and going to jail and that kind of stuff. Now, this crossover of being dangerous, being unpredictable, being someone that she has this attraction to, but she's afraid of you, and she's careful, and she's not sure what you're going to do. Women always say that kind of a guy is exciting and interesting. And Mr. Bland Poindexter, who comes home from work at the same time every day and is totally devoted to her, that would bore her literally to death. Okay? And if this is crazy, if this is how things are, then we have a society that's kind of upside down. And a lot of people will say, and this is what you and I get, Tom, that we're misogynistic, or not all women are like that, and it's not fair, and we're being too general. I'm always told that I'm generalizing. I shouldn't generalize. It's not nice to generalize. Well, the reason you generalize is because generally it's true. And there are exceptions, and that's terrific. And I know, I've heard it a million times from a woman. You and your three girlfriends aren't like that. Okay, fabulous. You guys are the best. I understand. You're a unicorn. I can't believe it. But let me tell you this, Tom. I got to turn our listeners on to a new word that I have found.
Oh.
This is not a made-up word. I'm not so sure you'll find one-itis in the dictionary. But this is a word that actually is a word. It's called hybristophilia, okay?
Really?
Yes, you like it, right?
I do.
Sounds like a disease.
It does.
Well, what it means, and by the way, if you're going to check my Facebook, which I'll give at the end of the hour, I put some videos about this, what it means, and there are some things on YouTube and elsewhere about it. But fundamentally, hybristophilia is the female attraction to violence, okay? And we're not just talking, you know, women that like scary men. We're talking violence. Okay, women are absolutely, and by the way, yes, I'm saying it, all women, okay? Did you hear that, everybody? I am not playing around here. I'm not pulling my punches, okay? Women are fundamentally attracted to psychopaths, okay? And to violent men. There's no doubt about it. And if you sit with me any day of the week, you don't have to come in when I'm there, you can go by yourself and watch what I watch. You see one woman after another, and it's like it's almost like a script. I don't even have to hear what she has to say. I know what she's going to say. And you can see how bored the judges are because they've heard it 10 trillion times. And I had one today. Not my client. I was watching another case before my case was called. This woman comes in. She sits down. Judge says, do you need a restraining order? Yes. I'm terrified of him. I'm so scared. I think he's going to kill me. Okay? What is that? How come that happens so often? What is that? Did she make him that way? Did he become that way later? Did he change, as they always say? Or was he always like that? Ah, interesting question. We'll get to that in a second. There is a guy who is absolutely unbelievable. His name is Anders Breivik, and he is from Norway. And what he did is, back in 2011... he killed 8 people by detonating a bomb in Oslo, Norway. And then he went to a summer camp and shot dead 69, did you hear that, Tom? 69 participants, mostly teenagers, and injured many other people. He was convicted of mass murder, and he gets 250 love letter marriage proposals per month.
Of course he does.
From all over the world.
Yep.
Okay? He gets women that write things, and by the way, a lot of it's posted. You can actually see the letters. And these women are talking, they're not saying, I love you, I want to marry you. They're saying, I want you to rape me, I want you to assault me, I want you to hurt me, I want you to make me bleed, okay? And they're writing this to a serial killer, okay? Seriously.
Yep.
This is not some TV show, okay? This is for real. And the other serial killers that have existed have all gotten these kinds of reactions from women. And this is unbelievable. You know Elliot Rodger? You've played his thing occasionally?
Of course, many times.
Okay, so he's from our area here in Southern California, and he went to the university here and tried to, you know, get into a sorority. He couldn't open the door, but he killed a few other people, and then he ended up dying. He killed himself. Anyway, he's dead, okay? He has dozens of fan pages of women that are writing stories about having sex with him. Because he was like, he had never been with a girl, he was very upset about it, he was a virgin or whatever, and he was in his 20s. These women are writing sex letters to him, a dead man, by the way, a killer,
wow.
Talking about, if only he was alive, I would be his first, okay? Like, that's some kind of prize. And these are guys, see, you have to remember that, like, for example, Ted Bundy was attracting women left and right when he was killing them, okay?
And the Unabomber.
And, well, I think he was... Unabomber, I think, was kind of a recluse.
No, but he was incarcerated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, now that he's incarcerated. Well, yeah, well, absolutely. When Bundy and Kaczynski and some of these other people are in prison, they have hundreds and thousands of fans. Now, think about a woman who's pathological in this way. And this is every woman, as far as I'm concerned. But this is, like, let's say, the most extreme. This is, like, the worst of the worst, okay? And she wants to be with a man who's going to hold her down and let her have it, okay? And she's in the world, and all these guys are holding the door for her, and they're buying her a drink, and she wants to throw up on them. She's disgusted, okay? Maybe she's married, and her husband's nice to her, and she says, I'm tired, honey, and he rubs her feet, okay? Rubs her shoulders. That turns her off. There's actually this conversation that the feminists were talking about a few months ago, that if the husband wants more sex, he should do housework, he should wash the dishes and help around with the kids and all this. It turns out that that is actually statistically false, that the more housework a husband does in the marriage, in the house, the less respect the wife has for him and the less sex they have. She's actually turned off from him. She thinks that he's becoming more feminine. What could turn a woman off more? And that's the other thing that happens to guys. Our mistake as men is that we are literal. Okay, if Tom says to me, Adam, you know, you want to go out and eat something, let's get a cheeseburger, I think he wants me to go out with him and have a cheeseburger. But when you're talking to a woman, the conversation is completely different. Maybe she's telling me, when she says I want the cheeseburger, what she really means is that I'm not spending enough time with her. And if I say yes to let's get the cheeseburger, that shows that I'm insensitive because I didn't understand what she was really trying to say, that she feels neglected in the relationship, okay? Right? Hello? Anyone who's been on dates and been in a relationship knows exactly what I'm talking about, okay? And the reality is that this whole connection, this whole thing that you build up as a man when you're listening and you're doing what they're asking and you're doing what they think they're telling you, what they think they want. And if you watch anything, if you make any effort to read women's magazines at all, Cosmopolitan, if you watch their TV shows, Sex in the City comes to mind. If you listen to what they're saying, if you really listen, they don't even know what they're talking about. They literally are saying that they want things that when they get them actually make them sick, okay? And the proof is in the pudding. When they go to the movies, they want to see 50 Shades of Grey, okay? They don't want to see Mr. Wonderful Brings Me a Dozen Roses, okay? And if you want your girlfriend to be turned off, okay, then buy her a pendant and bring her flowers, she will be rid of you, okay? That's the reality. And when you're mysterious and confusing and she doesn't know how to please you, she's going to be hysterical, okay? And if you just take that to the next step, then you have all the violent guys and all the crazy guys and these motorcycle assholes. Those are the ones that are getting the restraining orders. Because the woman takes it for a while and likes it and likes it and likes it, and then eventually gets scared, or her friends intervene, or someone tells her that this is a destructive relationship and she can't control the guy, and she doesn't just want to leave him, she wants to really stick it to him, and that's why she, you know, sues him, takes the kids, gets the restraining order. And I wish I could say that restraining orders were like this, you know, unusual thing, okay? But when I'm waiting in line in the courthouse to file papers, and I turn and look at the other people in line, every last one of them is filing a restraining order. And I'm not kidding, okay? There are all these women with a sad face filing a restraining order because they want to stick it to the guy, okay? Because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, which is that the woman wants the dangerous man, and then she's going to reform him, okay?
Right.
He's going to be the faithful dangerous man. He's going to be the high-income-earning dangerous man. He is going to, even though he's been crazy for years, he's going to do what she wants. He's going to follow her guidance. He's going to stop taking drugs and stop drinking and stop getting tattoos all the time. And he's going to be devoted to her and her children from other men and have children with her and be a devoted man, but still be dangerous and also make a high income, okay? And fundamentally, all of this is never, ever, ever going to happen. And when you see the most extreme example, I think that extremes sometimes can be very, very interesting and can teach you a lot. That there are these women out there, and I'm not talking about a few, who are finding these guys, writing to these guys, to serial killers, going to see them in jail, marrying them, writing them love letters. And here's this Norwegian psychopath, who's one of the biggest killers in Europe ever, okay, killed 70-some-odd people. I mean, children and teenagers, disgusting. And this guy is literally sought after by hundreds of women. It's unbelievable. It's pathological. And what's even more unbelievable, and this is the classic serial killer of today, is that he released a manifesto. And he wrote that he hates feminism, by the way. He actually wrote in his manifesto, I don't know if we care because he's kind of nutty, but he wrote that feminism had destroyed Europe and that women were destroying everything. And these women, in spite of all of that and his killing and his serial killing and his opinions, they actually are trying to be his sex slave. Okay? So, here we are. Maybe the caller last hour, okay, has to look at it like a TV show, Tom. This is exactly true, right? We had 5 seasons. That's enough shows to go into syndication, right?
That's right.
That's enough to release the DVD box set, right?
Exactly.
Okay, which means we're going to be getting royalties for the rest of our lives, right? Okay, maybe you have a relationship with a woman. Maybe she's much younger than you. Maybe she's crazy. Maybe she's, you know, not your type normally. Who the hell knows? Whatever. Maybe you're crazy about her. Good for you, okay? If you're with her, even if you're stupid, you waste money on her, you buy her shit, who knows? Whatever. Okay. If you're with her and it was fun and you were with her for a year or 6 months or just a few times or longer or shorter or whatever, maybe that's okay. Maybe you don't have to be brokenhearted about it when it ends. Maybe that's the point. Maybe if you're not afraid of losing her and you're not having that whole drama, then she won't feel that pressure and she will be inclined to chase after you to some degree. And if she doesn't know that she can snap her fingers and you're going to immediately be there for her, she's going to be insecure. She's going to be the one on the defensive trying to, like, keep you interested, right? And you tell her, you know, honey, I mean, I really like you and all, but that, you know, that blowjob wasn't so great, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I like a woman with a little meat on her bones, you know? Don't be upset about that 10 pounds you gained, you know? And we would call the backhanded compliments, okay? Maybe if you play it smart like that, okay, and you have your own life and you're doing your own thing, she'll see you as an alpha male, as a high-value male, okay? And that will keep her at your side if that's what you want. The way to turn her off is, I don't know, see, sometimes, Tom, you say treat her like crap. You know, that seems like, that's so harsh, you know.
No, it works.
Isn't there something like a step a little bit away from that?
No.
You know what I mean?
Anything short of that, and she's going to take advantage of the situation.
I feel like you can be decent. I don't know if you have to treat her like crap, but you definitely have to be smart about it. You can't come off as desperate. You can't come off as needy. These are just exactly the things that turns a woman off. And these guys, by the way, it's in all our pop culture. Look how we do it. We have these guys. I've seen videos about this where the guy drops down on one knee and tries to, you know, propose, and the woman says no. You know those kiss cams and those guys that try to propose to a woman like in the middle of the basketball halftime or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean that doesn't work most of the time. And how could it? That whole idea of being submissive and you're the one pleading with her, please be with me. I'm so desperate for you. Of course she feels like, you know, this guy's bugging me. What am I going to do? I guess I have to say yes, you know? Of course that's going to show in the relationship. But when you look, and this is what I'm talking about, when you boil it down, when you really get to the meat of it, okay? When you meet a woman, she has a kid, what does she tell you about the father of that kid? He's an asshole. He doesn't take care of the kid. He doesn't give me any child support. He doesn't give a shit about me. I can't believe he used me. And yet, she had sex with that guy, unprotected, and had a child that she decided to give birth to, okay? What does that tell you about her choices, all right? These women are writing fantasy letters to serial killers that are alive and some serial killers that are dead. And what are they saying? They're literally writing, I want you to cut me up. I want you to make me bleed. I want you to hurt me, okay? Can you imagine that this is a woman's fantasy? That a woman's fantasy in this 50 Shades of Grey, which, by the way, I've read cover to cover, this is a really stupid, twisted, poorly written book. Okay, about a woman who's going on and on and on about how she's afraid and she doesn't know what to do. And here's this guy who's basically painted as a psychopath. Okay, he's very rich and he basically doesn't give a crap about her. He ties her up and whips her with a belt. Okay, this is her breakthrough. This opens her up sexually. This blows her mind. And this book is sold 250 million copies. Okay. Think about that. Think about the sheer quantity of that, okay? Think about women consuming that and reading that and wishing for that, okay? And so next time you're crying over a girl and you're saying, what went wrong and how did this go wrong? Or God forbid you're in family court and you're dealing with a woman getting a restraining order against you, you know, a woman who's trying to hurt you, and I am dealing with this and helping the guys all the time with stuff like this. It's absolutely unbelievable. The things that they write are so cruel and so mean and so spiteful, okay? And you try to reason with them, and there's no reasoning with them. They're so angry. They're so out of their minds. And you say, are all women like that? Aren't we going to find a great woman? We're going to listen to the Dennis Prager show, and he says, okay, there's bad women, but we're going to find a good one. There's a great one out there for you. Just keep looking, yeah? Bullshit. What if she doesn't exist? What if that's nonsense? What if that's never going to happen? What if, even if you found someone who's terrific and educated and beautiful and all these other things which you're never going to find, okay, that she will over time turn on you, okay, no matter what, that's just how they're programmed to be, all right? And think about that possibility when you do this before you jump off the cliff. That's the point, Tom. We're like this guy who's going to hurt himself, right? We're pulling people away from the edge.
Right.
This is what we're doing.
Of course.
This is literally my work. This is what your work is.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about Money Monday, right? You're telling these guys, don't buy a condo. What are you talking about? Oh, I need the tax break. You need the... What? What'd you say? Are you kidding me? You don't even itemize your deductions, you fool.
Right. You're not going to get a tax break.
The best is, Tom, I'm sorry, when you say to the guy, you need the tax write-off, so do you itemize your deductions? And he goes, what do you mean itemize?
Right.
Okay. That's special.
Exactly.
That's really special.
Those people don't realize they will not get the benefit of owning a house.
It's a joke. It's calculated in. It's unbelievable. You're not itemizing. You're not getting anything, fool.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? And they don't even know. Believe me, if they don't know if they're itemizing, I would say they're probably not. Okay? But whether they are, they aren't. It's unbelievable that they're putting these things together without really understanding what they mean. And when you think about this, when you think about the guys today and the way the life has changed, I mean, at one time, you literally had to be married to have sex. You need a license. You guys were going to jail for lying to women. It was called criminal conversation. If you promised a woman that you were going to marry her and had sex with her and then didn't marry her, you could go to jail, okay? That was not that long ago. That was in the 1940s, the 1950s and whatnot, okay? When you talk about today, with all these possibilities all over the world, all over this country, people, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. They're just everywhere, okay? So make an effort. Now, you talked about a guy who called. He was saying how shy he is. He's afraid to talk to girls.
Yep.
Okay, I totally get that. I totally understand the fear of rejection, okay? there are 10 trillion online courses, okay, for free to download, to help you build your confidence, to learn how to be a salesman, right, to learn how to talk to people on the phone, to practice. I mean, we have such a rich world now where I have a cell phone that I can immediately access almost all of the knowledge of mankind online in seconds, okay? So if you're not confident, if you're afraid to talk to women, I sympathize, I understand. There is a way that you can help yourself. There are courses, there are books, come on. It's absolutely insane to throw it the other way. It's sick. And when you look at this and you look at the reality, I want everyone to go on and look up this hybristophilia. This is who women really are. And when you understand this and you look at it this way, it will change your life. It will change your whole approach. How many guys are telling me, don't file the papers yet, Adam, I don't want to upset her, okay? I hear this all the time. What are you talking about? You don't want to upset her. She's sticking it to you, and that's okay? Somehow, anytime it's done to a man, it's okay, and it's not. That's the bottom line.
I'm going to give out the phone number and take a break. When we come back, I got two things to ask you about here.
You go ahead.
But in the meantime, here we are with family law attorney Adam Sachs, and he's here with legal advice for you. It's free. All you have to do is call in. And in this case, we're talking about family law, divorces, legal separations, vagina moaning, child custody, child support, prenups, postnups, and even restraining orders. It's all fair game right now at this number, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. That's our number. 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show. It's the bonus hour with family law attorney Adam Sachs sitting right here with me. And your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-866. This story just in from BuzzFeed. And it's another story about Facebook Live. Have you seen the latest? The latest from Facebook Live?
Another killing? What happened? I'm sorry.
A Thai man broadcast video of himself killing his baby daughter on Facebook Live.
Oh, my God.
That was today as we're doing the
horrible show.
The latest in a string of recent live-streamed horrific acts on the social platform.
So he really did it? He killed his child?
Yes. 20-year-old Wutasan Wangtale, ask for him by name, hanged his 11-month-old daughter.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
And then himself.
Oh, God. Yeah, look. I just read it. You're
at
right.
An abandoned hotel in Phuket, which I think says fuck it. But.
I actually was there. It's quite lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, here it is. Well, Facebook removed the video, so that's a good thing.
Right. But, of course, the fact that people can broadcast live on Facebook, now you have all these people who are doing, well, really compelling things.
Yeah, here it is,
with the technology.
21-year-old man hanged his daughter and then himself after an argument with his wife. Well, he sure showed her, huh?
Do you think somebody at some point is going to make a case that Facebook is responsible for some of this stuff?
In all seriousness, if they're responsible, what can they do? If they could get rid of the service, I suppose. But if they have this live service, right, and you set it up, and then you just start sending stuff, unless you have an army of people sitting there watching every video and, like, you know, pushing the dump button, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, really, what are you going to do? These people post this shit. And then it's up, and this shows, by the way, it was posted at 1650, so that's like 450, and then it was taken down at 1700, so that's 5. So it was up, but it was the next day. So it was on for 24 hours.
13 hours. I think it was 13.
It says roughly 24 hours later.
Oh, all right.
Or I don't know, but whatever. It was on for many hours, but they did take it down.
Right.
So what the hell are they supposed to do?
Well, maybe you're not supposed to give people this kind of capability on such a large platform. Is it really necessary for Facebook, for people to go on live? Facebook was around for 10 years or more before they started offering that service.
Here's another one here, Tom. In the same article about this Phuket guy, there was a gang rape of a young woman in Uppsala, Sweden, okay, that was on Facebook Live earlier this year, live streamed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. Now, I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's crazy. I'm really a big advocate of free speech. I really am. I don't know what to say. I really believe in it.
I'm an advocate of it, too, but we're not talking about speech. We're talking about murder.
You know what I mean? The publishing aspect of it. And I understand this content. I hate it when Facebook is censoring content, okay? And to be honest with you, there was a really upsetting video that was made. This is one of the first kind of its type of the killing of Daniel Pearl, who was murdered by terrorists. He was a Wall Street Journal reporter, and he was in Pakistan. He was kidnapped, and they cut off his head, and they videoed it, and they made this video. And at the time, there was a lot of controversy about whether it should be posted. And several different internet places posted it. And I downloaded it. I have it on my computer, I think. Okay, and it's awful to watch. But the question was, is this something that we should censor? And to be honest with you, as much as I like Daniel Pearl and I feel bad about the whole thing, it's horrible for his family, I think it needs to be out. I really do. I'm an absolutist when it comes to the First Amendment. And so it's sick and disgusting that this guy is killing his own child. It's so disgusting. I can't even imagine. But the bottom line is, we have this kind of media age where people want to post it live or whatever, which is twisted by itself. But what would you have, I mean, really, in all fairness, what would you have Facebook do? Or not just Facebook, any of these platforms.
Well, I'm not saying they should censor. I'm simply saying that...
But they're liable?
I mean, do we really need this service?
So what would you do? You would get rid of the Surface?
It's only existed less than 6 months.
I understand, but would you have a company like Facebook remove the service?
Yeah. Put it this way. I wouldn't tell them to do it.
I don't mean literally, legally. I mean, what would you have them do? If you were the president, what would you do? I mean, of Facebook, I mean.
The president of Facebook?
Yeah.
Just because I'd be concerned about the potential of frivolous lawsuits over stuff like this, I'd take it down. Take it down.
Take down the service.
Sure. But you know what? If people want to broadcast live stuff, they can do it on their own websites. They can do it on YouTube. They can do it other places. But if I were Facebook, look, they're not even monetizing it. It doesn't have any advertising on it. There's no revenue coming in from it.
There must be monetizing it.
No, I think that's their ultimate goal. But
no,
I don't think
they're going to give you advertising or something.
But there's no advertising on it at this time. There's no.
Look how YouTube has put advertising.
I haven't seen Flow and Progressive Insurance.
No, I know,
yet,
but look how YouTube sticks things in the middle of your video and stuff.
They do. But, you know, most of what's on YouTube is recorded. Only after Facebook added live capabilities did YouTube do it. As someone who's been a broadcaster my whole life, this is something I've always known was a possibility. If anybody could have a camera and start broadcasting live to the world, mostly it's going to be good. Some of it's going to be horrifying, terrible.
So that's what it has to be then.
Also believe that there are some people who are going to commit murder and other crimes because they can show it live. And, if you don't have any money coming in from it and, the Facebook existed for years and years without the ability to go live, I'd seriously consider taking it down because you're just going to keep having this happen.
The thing is, you just said it straight, Tom. You said that most of it, which I could probably say is 99%, is going to be good stuff and benign, right? And then there's going to be this small percentage of crap, of horrible stuff, right?
If I tell you what, if I were the CEO of that company, there'd be no doubt about it. I'd take that down today. Today.
I'm surprised to hear you say it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying censorship because it's not censorship.
How is it not censorship?
Facebook censors.
That bothers me a whole lot. I'm very upset that they
do. I'd rather there be no capability than for Facebook and some of their 99-cent-an-hour employees in Bangladesh sitting there deciding what is okay and what is not okay. Well, I've been in Facebook jail repeatedly.
Me too.
For reasons I still don't understand.
I was in Facebook jail last week. So I definitely relate. And by the way, I don't think that's right either. I don't know, Tom. It's very strange to me. You know, I have a lot of situations that are very much like this, where I interact with a woman lawyer, you know, and she's tough as nails, right? And then all of a sudden she's a little girl,
right?
And she says, "You offended me, and you hurt my feelings." And you go, "Are you kidding? So this happened to me when I was on the schoolyard, man, when I was in elementary school. The girls would come to play with the boys. They'd be tough as the boys. And then all of a sudden, they'd skin their knee or get pushed or something, and they'd start crying. Yeah. And they'd become little girls again. And I learned not to play with girls, man. All the guys were like, don't play with girls, man. You'll be sorry.
Exactly. Well, I still agree with that to this day.
Yeah, but this is 6 years old, man.
Right. I understand.
I'm just saying.
I have another family law question for you specifically about something I've been thinking about this week as I've been talking about marijuana and people, medical marijuana, marijuana for entertainment when it becomes legal, whatever. What is this doing to custody battles?
Well, this is really interesting you mentioned this. One of my heroes actually appeared on the show the other day, Mr. Margolin.
Yes.
Now, Bruce Margolin, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you talked about him a little bit at the beginning and he came on. People don't understand who this man is. I mean, he had been at the forefront of legalization of marijuana, decriminalization of marijuana, going back to God knows the 60s.
Yeah.
And he's, I don't know if he still is, I think he is, the chairman of NORML,
right,
which was the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws.
Yes.
And he was talking a little bit about the sacred herb, which I didn't really relate to. I let the spiritual part slide.
Right.
But broadly speaking, he is someone who is at the forefront of you know, making marijuana, going from what class A felony, whatever, right up there with heroin, and trying to, you know, show that it was actually beneficial medicinally and that it was recreationally, you know, reasonably safe. I think marijuana certainly is a lot safer than alcohol. There's no doubt about that. But the reality is you have people now, as we have in California, where you get a license to use marijuana from a doctor. You have other states like Colorado where you literally don't even have to do that, where it's just available rather freely. You go to a store and just buy it. And this is something that is absolutely, you know, unique and special and incredible. I remember seeing legal marijuana years ago in Amsterdam, which was sold in what they called coffee shops. And I remember going into one of these, you know, and this is when it was quite illegal still in all 50 states, and, you know, buying it over the counter legally in Holland was absolutely insane. I couldn't believe it. It was the craziest thing ever. And, you know, not having to worry about it legally speaking. But the thing is that, you know, as much as Mr. Margolin talked about this, and he did specifically talk about this in the interview the other day, that marijuana is not supposed to give any negative perception to the court or whatever with respect to custody and visitation and so forth. Let me tell you something. If you use marijuana, you can be damn sure that your ex-wife or whatever the story is, or husband, whoever you are, is going to put that in the papers, and the judge is going to read it, okay? Now, people have this idea that there's like a cool judge or something like that. There really isn't, okay? Sorry. You're going to have a relatively square-looking person, conservative-minded, reading these papers. And as much as the law says, this thing about negative inferences that Mr. Margolin talked about, that is not probably going to help you. And if you have a few factors against you, and the judge perceives that you're a stoner, or you're using marijuana, for example, in front of the kids, or you're high when the kids are with you, or whatever the story is, that is going to hurt you. There's just no doubt about it. I mean, you could say otherwise, Tom, but it wouldn't be honest. You know, that when they look at all the factors, by the way, you know this, even smoking cigarettes is considered, you know, bad for the kids or whatever.
Yeah.
And just any bad habits that people have, and when you have custody things, and we're not even talking about big custody battles, but just in the inference, especially in the better states like California, is supposed to be joint custody. So when the two of you walk in with your two-year-old getting a divorce, the courts are supposed to automatically default to make it joint custody, which is the sharing of the kids legally and physically. And then, you know, you and your ex have to choose what school they go to and what religion and blah, 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 all the good stuff. Okay. But, you know, right away, one side gangs up on the other, and it's typically the mother who says, I don't want to have joint custody. I want to have sole custody. And he's an asshole, and here's why. And she writes a litany of reasons. And on the list, I promise you, my friends, is going to be he has a medical marijuana prescription, and while I know it's legal for him to buy and use marijuana, he does it excessively. And he does it in front of the kids, and he does it every day, and he does it on the weekends, and he goes to work high. And I'm afraid, this is another great one, that he's driving the children around in the car while he's high. and I'm very concerned for their health and welfare and safety. Okay? And you got to remember how cautious judges are. They're afraid that if they, you know, do anything weird, the kid's going to end up getting killed. It's going to be their fault. So they give sole custody to the mother because they think they're protecting the kids.
Right.
And it's supposed to all be, God help us, in the best interest of the children, whatever the hell that means. So in all seriousness, Tom, I think it's, I'm glad you have your card, but I'm also glad you don't have school-age children.
Right.
Certainly with an ex-wife.
Exactly.
And for those of us who do, you better call me because we got to be careful with these things because it is definitely not what it's cracked up to be. When you look at all the things you do, they are all scrutinized. And I mean, you wouldn't believe how specific it's gotten in declarations that I've read where the woman says that the guy has a messy house.
Yeah.
Or he's got too many dogs.
Well, here's another one I worry about. You know, people are just bigger tattletales than ever.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, and they've got cameras to take pictures of what they think is illegal behavior.
Oh, man.
You've got people, I see people, by the way, you know, this is supposed to make the highway safer. They tell you to call 911 and report drunk drivers.
Oh,
I
fabulous.
Literally people see people driving with one or two fingers while they are trying to manipulate a camera to take a picture of some person driving crazily.
Fabulous.
So now,
so they go off the road, but that was important, right?
Right. Well, here's my question. My question is, since people are such tattletales and spies, and they butt into things that are none of their business, what happens when people who are not getting divorced, they see you at the playground with your kid smoking a little weed while your kid is off on the seesaw?
Oh, you better not, man.
I mean, hey.
Do you have a death wish? What are you talking about?
No, I'm asking, you know, what can happen in a case like that? Could you lose custody even though you're not getting divorced?
Oh, God, Tom. I wouldn't put it to chance. I wouldn't put it to chance.
Yeah.
Seriously. And,
and
so
I think
many
this is especially going to be an issue in 2018 when supposedly recreational marijuana use in California will be legal. People will be smoking right out.
Well, no one really knows what the hell's going to happen.
Well, but if it does,
if that goes as planned or whatever, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's planned. If that really rolls out and it seems to be the way that they're saying, it's open season. But then the problem is, you know, you're still going in front of a judge who's a white guy in his late 60s, okay? And he has a lot of training as a judge that he's supposed to do what's in the children's best interests, okay?
Right.
And you naturally have a daughter who's 4 years old or five or six or whatever, and she's very young and very innocent and impressionable, and the mother screaming bloody murder,
right?
Okay? That she knows as a fact that you're smoking marijuana in front of the little girl, that you're high when you're with her. And by the way, then there's this other little gateway conversation. I know he uses marijuana. Maybe he also uses cocaine and God knows what else.
Right.
I mean, that sort of follows. When I was a teenager, they were always saying that marijuana was a gateway drug.
Right.
That you were going to smoke marijuana first and then get to bigger things. And when they spoke to heroin addicts, they always said that they started with marijuana. So, therefore, marijuana leads to heroin, obviously. That happened to you, right, Tom?
And marijuana led to pizza.
Pizza?
You know, like Domino's on speed dial.
But not heroin?
No, of course not.
I'm very discouraged. I thought it was a gateway drug. What's happened to you,
Tom? I
know
they say that.
Tom, you never follow through on things, you know?
They do say that. Let's take a break here, and when we come back, we'll tell you how to get in touch with Adam. And, of course, if you've got questions for Adam, you can always call here at this number, 901-3000-TOM. It's the bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
The Tom Likas Show. It's the bonus hour with our friend, family law attorney, Adam Sachs. Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook. I am officially out of jail. And you can also check me out on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. Send me an email, which I read and answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right, and if you missed your chance to call in with Adam, don't worry. There's going to be another bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
iHeart, this app, a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now.
901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary. He's Dina.
Yes, I am.
Guys are Botoxing their balls, and it's wrong. It's really wrong.
By the way, that's dumb. Balls are supposed to be, you know, like that.
Right. Well, not only doing it for aesthetic reasons, but apparently guys are discovering that it makes their sex lives better somehow to have the bigger nuts.
Listen,
the bigger, smoother nuts, by the way.
Yeah, the less you fuck around with the balls, the better off you are.
Well,
as
you
a
would,
guy.
Yeah,
why
you
would you
think.
Needle them up?
Because, right, exactly. I mean, they're as God intended them to be.
Yeah. Don't needle them up.
I mean, look, with age, sure, they might fall a little bit.
Yeah. But,
you know.
Let it go. Let it go.
Just stick with the balls God gave you? Is that what you're saying?
Kind of. I mean. Yeah.
They call it Scrotox, by the way.
I don't care what kind of flashy name they
got. That doesn't change your mind, Scrotox?
That's Latin. Yeah, I'll translate it to English. That's dumb.
Right. I thought Scrotox was one of the main attractions out at the festival this weekend.
By the way.
DJ Scrotox.
Yeah. He does a good... He's done some joints.
There's big balls that hang above him on stage. Light show and everything.
Right. Well, that dead mouse, dude, he's right. Got him above his head. Right. A couple of balls.
Right.
For real.
Yeah.
Skrillex.
Apparently, a robot brothel will be coming to the UK now from the same people that brought it to Barcelona. You'll be able to fuck dolls.
Wait a minute. First of all, it's Barcelona.
I'm sorry, Barcelona.
Don't make me get the guy in who taught us straight.
I think I just lost a tooth. Barcelona.
It's not, please, it's Barcelona.
Okay.
Don't be a dick.
All right.
By the way,
just go straight back to WeHo with that fucking thing.
Some of these fucking dolls are fucking hot.
I know. The dolls aren't bad.
They should be the best there is. You have time to work on it.
Yeah. Luma Dolls opened its first robot brothel in Barcelona earlier this year.
Yes, they say that this Luma Doll sex fantasy allows men to fulfill their wildest fantasies.
Yeah. They're currently in the process of expanding and looking for more franchises in other countries. Anybody looking for a franchise idea, I think we've got one here.
Each of these dolls is equipped with an RFID, and you can insert your swipe your chipped credit card right next to it.
Right.
Done.
An ex-Rikers Island worker allegedly traded sex for fast food with inmates.
Oh.
Yes. Female inmates.
Oh.
This dude was...
smart.
Yeah, banging away. And all he had to do was trade a couple of McMuffins or something.
There's no, by the way... Yeah, two McDoubles for $2.50, in the outside, turned out to be a terrific thing on the inside.
Doesn't get much better than that. Sidney Williams slapped a 43-count indictment, various sex acts with four female inmates for a full year. Also exchanging sex for things like gum, socks, and the occasional bite of fast food. Always throwing
even
in
a
there.
Bite. Yeah. I guess, that makes the deal way more enticing.
Exactly, enticing.
Because you could have your McDoubles and only offer a couple of bites.
Right. There's plenty more at newsforguys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryAndDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
Skrillex.